For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome to Parshas Ekev, chapter 7, verse 12. Okay, first off, Vaya Ekev Tishmaun. Okay, which means that if you listen to the mitzvahs, right, then the age-old formula, right, that Hashem will promise to keep His covenant and His chesed that He swore to your fathers, and again, all these wonderful materialistic brachas will happen to you. And we're going to try to discuss that materialistic brachas is not the reward for the mitzvah, but rather to enable you to do more mitzvahs. But be careful when you get these materialistic brachas that it doesn't distract you. Okay? Instead, you're supposed to use these because you're doing the mitzvahs, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless you with more tranquility in the Gashmias world, so you can do more mitzvahs. And what are you going to do? You're going to use these things and you're going to forget Hashem. Just like last week's portion, this is a continuation of some certain basic themes. Also in this week's portion, well, let me back up, guys. Last week, the two biggest questions, you know, philosophical questions, is why do bad things happen to good people, and why do the wicked seem to prosper, right? And why, well, that's basically it. You know, goes hands in hands with that is, hand in hand with that is, why do we get clocked? Why do we get punished so much? So last week, we talked about why do the ways of the wicked prosper, right? That Hashem pays them to their face. Right? He pays them the face. Any little missiles they have to get from this world. This week in our parsha, we have why do the good suffer? Right? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish Israel so much? And for that, we have a verse. Okay? And you got to remember this verse, guys. I have quoted it all year round. Okay? I've quoted it all year round. Chapter 8, verse 5. Vayadata imul vavecha. Know in your heart. Ki kasher yaser ishes beno adonai lechem yasrecha. Right? You should know in your heart. Just as a father chastises his son, the Lord your God chastises you. Gives you yasurin. Okay? That's what you gotta remember. Remember, last week's, two very important verses you gotta remember. Last week's, the tongue's not working today, folks. Chapter 7, verse 10, God pays His enemies to their face in this world, so they will have nothing of the next world. And this week, chapter 8, right, verse 5, like a father chastises a son, the Lord your God chastises you, which means it's for your own good. He's trying to correct us, right? And we're going to see there's some other things involved there, okay? But that's some of the things. The other highlight, I can't say highlight, everything is the same in the Torah, but another very important pasuk, a couple of them actually here, is if you look at chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, okay? Lama'an anoischa, God afflicts you, ulama'an nasosecha, and He tests you, la tivcha bachrisecha, so He can give you good in the end. Why do you have tzoras? Why do you have trials and tribulations? They're for your ultimate benefit. We're going to try to talk about that, okay? And the next verse, you'll say in your heart, you'll say, my strength got me this, right? That's not the way a Jew looks at things. We always have to remember the next verse, 18, v'zachartes Hashem lokecha, remember ki, it's God that gives you the strength that makes you successful. Okay? So these are fundamental hashkafa outlook, Jewish outlook on how we look at tzoras, how we look at afflictions that happen to us, how we look at why the wicked seem to prosper, how we look at the physicality, the gashmias blessings, all these things, right, in last week's portion and this week's portion. Okay. Now, let's back up here. First of all, beginning of the parsha, Vayah Ekev Tishma'un, that if you listen to the mitzvahs, right? Rashi says, what mitzvahs are we talking about? You would think, because the verse says, if you listen to my mitzvahs, I'll start giving you all these wonderful blessings. So naturally, you would think, well, it's probably talking about the big mitzvahs, right? Being a Shomer Shabbos, right? Praying and then learning Torah and whatever. No. Rashi, what does it mean if you listen to mitzvahs? Which mitzvahs? Play on words. Ekev, right? Which can mean in the end, and it can also mean the heel, like Yaakov, right? So he says, Im ha-mitzvahs ha-kalos asha-adam dashpit be'ikvav tishma'un. Those mitzvahs, those light mitzvahs that a person tramples on them with his heel, if you listen to those mitzvahs, right? You hear? Like it's no big deal, relatively speaking, to get excited about davening on a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? Let me see you get up on a Wednesday morning, right? To daven and put some enthusiasm into it, right? You get excited about the Esrog and the Lulav and lighting the Hanukkah thing, right? And eating matzah on Pesach, right? Right? Well, let me see you get excited about saying a bracha in the middle of the week over an apple. Okay? Right? Those simple mitzvahs, tzitzis that you wear every day, right? Whatever it is, checking for shotness on your clothes. Those everyday mitzvahs that, the brachas, I mean, if you talk about mitzvahs that a person tramples on, brachas, just rattling them off, you know? Okay, so those are the ones, those show that you're a real servant of Hashem. To get inspirational, I mean, it's good, I'm not making fun of it. You're supposed to get a high during the regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, right? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. It's good. You get spiritual, like, okay. But a higher level is being an Eved Hashem every day, serving God every day. So those mitzvahs we got to put some chiyus into. And there's a term called a mace mitzvah. You know what a mace mitzvah is? A dead mitzvah. Well, you're right. Literally, it means a dead person. No one around to bury him. You got to bury him. But they say, like, symbolically, certain mitzvahs can be a mace mitzvah. In other words, a mitzvah that's ignored. For example, today, books are not, sforim, holy books that are komish, are not given respect. People lean on them. People put their pens on top of them, They are not given. It's a mace mitzvah. Right? It's a mace mitzvah. So a person gets a special reward, by the way, if he takes something and livens it up, that's a mace mitzvah. And today, basically, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a mace mitzvah. People forget that he's running the show. That's what our Torah portion is all about. The Nach Hashem is running the show, and you got to give credit where credit's due. I had an unbelievable... This was not planned. I'm going to keep this on tape. I was going to turn it off. Okay. I want to tell you what happened. I was playing softball this year, right? So there was a guy, a shortstop. Guy was unbelievable for one of the other things there. Unbelievable. Very, very coordinated and everything. He was playing a great game. Found out the next day, guy got diagnosed low length for cancer in his testicles. Right? Had to have one removed. Okay? You hear this? So I saw him about 2 weeks ago. I said, I heard what happened. I'm really, I don't even know the guy's name. And he's not he's not from, obviously. He's very, very not from. Okay, but still, he's a Jew. He's a Belgian. I said, look, I heard what happened. We're all very sad to hear what happened to you. We wish you for Shlema a complete recovery. I hope that goes well. But then he was talking to thank you. I appreciate that and everything else. So I was very shooken up by the whole incident. I was shooken up. Here's a guy running around. I'm like, he was everywhere, this guy. He was killing us at shortstop. He was in center field, left field. This guy was unbelievably athletic. And all of a sudden, one day you're on top of the world chasing fly balls, and the next day, all of a sudden, you have a life-threatening disease, right? That could affect your whole life, I was very shooken up by it. You're supposed to be. The fact that everything seems fine one day, also the next day, you never know what it's going to bring. That we live each day by Chasdei Hashem, by the Chesed of Hashem, right? It's interesting. He was very happy-go-lucky about it. He even started saying, he told me he's on his last treatment. I spoke to him Sunday, last treatment. And he says, the miracles of modern science. So, you know me, I said, miracle of modern science. I said, how about the miracle of a God that watched over you and cured you from this thing? He goes, he just, you know, kind of try to get out of it. So, it's amazing. You can have an open miracle. I mean, you know, the guy's life was saved. And one person didn't even happen to, you know, is very shooken up and takes the lesson to heart. That I have to bless Hashem for every day that you're healthy. You can't take anything for granted. And here, the person that it happened to, everything's fine now, and goes on with his life. I think that had more of an impression on me than the first thing. Okay, maybe I should tell that. Okay, interesting. Okay.
Well, you ought to have it.
So anyways, let's go on. Next thing I want to discuss is on chapter 7, verse 12, right there, same verse. It says, if you do these things, and Hashem will keep the covenant and the chesed that he promised to your fathers. Interesting, from this verse, the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, Kedushin, in the Yerushalmi Talmud, says, Hashem gave Israel three presents. And actually, these three things are worded differently in a different Gemara, that Israel is recognized by three signs. And they are rachamim, that we're merciful people. God gave us an inherited characteristic of being merciful. Of course, we misuse it all the time and are more concerned about seals and otters than we are about our neshamas. Boshanim, that we're shy people. Shy, but we show busha. We show shame. Shame! Right? Remember how to spell that word? Shame. S-H-A-M-E. Not sham. No one knows the word today. Okay. And gamli chasadim, we do acts of kindness. I got to tell you, this last thing, even in our generations, those we are, even if the Jews are doing kindness for the wrong causes, you still see this with us. We'll talk more about this, God willing, in the parsha of Lech Lecha. Okay? Okay, so those are three attributes that we're known for. Now, I want to tell you something. You know, is it right? Is it right that this sawed-off Texan goes around saying derogatory things about the Avodah Zarah of today, of the idol-worshipping, philosophical idol-worshipping of today? Is it right? Don't you want to know? Couldn't I be more diplomatic? Couldn't I be more tolerant? Huh? Well, chapter 7... verse 26 says I should lay it on thicker. Okay, Sheket Tishakseinu. These disgusting things. What disgusting things? We're talking about chapter 7, verse 26. Why you shouldn't bring in your house these disgusting things, which is different types of Avodah Zarah. From here, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah learns, Mekan La'Avodis Kochavim SheMitzvah. It's a mitzvah to call him by a derogatory nickname. So there. And that includes all the philosophical idol worshipings, right? Environmental wackos, right? The deform movement. All these things, right? Don't get me wrong. Individual Jews, we never label. We pray for them. But the movements that stand for this misconceptions, right? We make fun of them, call them by derogatory names, okay? Lavodis Kochavim, actually, he says the idol worshippers themselves you can call by a derogatory name. Well, that's good. That's fun. I'm going to have to work on that. I'll get back to you guys. Okay. Chapter 8, verse 4. I'm having a lot of fun. Are you guys enjoying this? Chapter 8, verse 4. That last thing we quoted from the Gemara, but it's page 46. Okay, Membav Amud Aleph. Okay, chapter 8, verse 4, I started to say, Simosecha lo balsa, Hashem recounts all the chesed he did for us in the midbar, in the desert, right? And one of them is that your clothes didn't wear out, right? And didn't get dirty, as a matter of fact. Rashi tells us the Ane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, would clean their clothes. They would clean their clothes, the Ane HaKavod. And not only that, but the example is given is like a snail. The shell of the snail grows with it, right? So too, our clothes grew with us. We never needed, that's a question, right? 40 years in the desert, probably about 2.5 million to 3 million people, right? Okay? So this is one of the accounts of the chesed Hashem did for us all those years in the desert, okay? All right, another thing. Chapter 8, verse 10. We're trying to cover some of the Rashis and the Gemaras, guys. Now here we learn an interesting thing. Another one of these innocent little verses that you can read right by it and not catch the subtle, one of the subtle nuances in it. Okay? It says the following. V'achalta v'savata, you should eat and be satisfied. Uverechecha es Hashem Elokecha, you shall bless the Lord your God. Okay, this is the source for saying benching after meals. There's only two brachas that are from the Torah. Okay? One of them is benching. The other is, say, Birchas HaTorah, the blessing on Torah in the morning. Okay, so here is the source for blessing after you eat. Okay? Now, in addition to that, Uvrechecha es Hashem Elokecha, that you should bless the Lord your God, okay, the Gemara in Brachas learns, how do you know, Menayin Shechayev Adam Levarach Al Arach Hashem Levarach Al Atayev, where do you know that a person should bless on the bad as he does on the good? From this verse. Okay? You remember last week we said something similar in the Shema, V'ahavt es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'odecha, b'chol midah v'midah. Every midah, every measure Hashem gives to you, whether bad or good, you have to bless, right? And I think there also, it would be interesting to try to find that, to see. It's also from Brachas. It's four pages later. So the Gemara in Brachas also says from that, b'chol me'odecha, ben midah teva, ben midah parnius. You know, from whether good or bad, you have to bless Hashem. Now, the Gemara in Brachas, five pages earlier, says on this verse that we learn to bless Hashem for the bad or for good. Why? Because like I've told you so many times, the word Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, right, is Hashem's attribute of mercy when, you know, good, apparent good is being bestowed upon us. And Elohim or Elokecha, right, is the attribute of judgment. So this verse reads, right, and you shall bless the Lord your God, right? Hashem, v'rechecha uverachta, v'rachta es Hashem, mercy, Elokecha, judgment. Either way he appears to you, you should bless Hashem. Okay? And, as we discussed earlier, Pirkei Avos, and we've said so many times, we really don't know what's bad and good. The truth is everything's for ultimate benefit. Right? And we're going to see that afflictions were the best thing in the world for us. And I can finally say that to you guys and get you a verse from our very parsha to prove it. Okay? So, we're going to go into that in a couple minutes. Okay? But remember, it's the verse we already quoted earlier. Okay? Now, in addition, we want to stick with our verse. In addition to this, what we learn is, you shall eat, be satisfied, bless Hashem, ala aretz hateva shenatan lach, right? And then all of a sudden, verse 11, be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God. And you don't do his mitzvahs. Right? It should sound very reminiscent of last week. And it's repeated many times in Torah, guys. Many times in Torah. Here it is. You're going to eat and you're going to be satisfied. And what's going to happen? You'll get comfortable in the luxury and the materialism, and you'll forget about Hashem. You'll slack off on your learning and your davening, okay? Okay, and the reason this happens, a person, by and large, right, does not turn away from God when he has source. Right? No atheists in a dark alley. Okay, and here it is from Rashi, quotes it, right, and he quotes this. Actually, we have two verses. We have one also in chapter 11, verse 16, if you refer to there real quick, chapter 11, verse 16, something similar. Okay? 15 and 16, again, V'achalta v'savata, you shall eat and be satisfied, right? Yishamru lachem, be careful, penifthilavavchem, that your hearts don't be swayed and you start serving other gods. Okay? You start serving all the other gods of the world, the secular cultures. You're involved in this cause and that cause. Just stay involved in one ism, Judaism. Okay? So Rashi says, off the north, right there, Kibet Sheyu Oichlim, Vesveim, being that you'll eat and you'll be satisfied. He shemulacha, be careful that you don't kick. You don't rebel. Now here it is. She'ein adam moired by Kadosh Baruch Hu. A person does not rebel against Hashem only through being satisfied, sveya, being satiated. Shneamar, as it says in Devarim, right? The last week's, now he goes back to our Torah, to our verse here, that you shall eat and you'll be satisfied, and you'll get haughty and you'll turn away from God. Okay? This is repeated many times in the Torah. That's the problem. That God, at the beginning of our portion, sees that we're doing mitzvahs and wants to help us. So he makes it more peaceful and tranquil for us, gives us, no worries in the materialistic world, right? And what do? Right? And we take that and just get distracted, right? And we forget Hashem. And this is the story of exile. Right? Remember Tisha B'Av, we talked about this. What do? We go to, we're exiled because of our sins. We go to a new country. Hashem has rachmanis on us. He lets us settle there. We stay there. We stay in a ghetto. A self-imposed ghetto. And that's the clue, by the way. Whenever we keep a self-imposed ghetto, they don't make us stay in the ghetto. When we want to leave the ghetto, then they tell us to stay in the ghetto. Anyway. That's what happens. We establish our land. We start doing fine. And then we start assimilating to the culture. And this is the story right here. Okay, now, going back, we're trying to go in order some more Rashi's. Chapter 9, verse 18, Moshe Rabbeinu recounts, there's a long recounting here of how we got to Mount Sinai, how we got the Ten Commandments, how Moshe Rabbeinu came down, saw us worshiping the golden calf, broke the tablets, right? The whole story is repeated here, right? And then Hashem told him to go back up, right? Another 40 days, another 40 nights, three sets of them, right? Three sets of 40 days and 40 nights, and the second tablets were given to him, okay? So, chapter 9, verse 18 is in the middle of that description, and it tells us that Hashem kind of forgave us. He forgave us in Yom Kippur, right? And therefore, this became the day, l'mechila v'slicha. This became, it set it up in the system forever that this will be a day of forgiveness and atonement. Because the original Yom Kippur, we were forgiven for the golden calf, and we got the second tablet. Yom Kippur is actually a day of giving the Torah. Of receiving the Torah in a certain sense. We got the second tablets. Therefore, it's set up for all time as a day for Mechila and Slicha. So this is the source for that. Okay, now, if you do well, first of all, if you do well in the materialistic world, we just got finished reading that it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu blessing us so we can concentrate on spirituality, right? But what are we going to say? Chapter 8, right? Chapter 8, verse 14, Veram Levavcha, and your heart will, you'll get haughty, gaiva, ego, Veshachachtes Hashem Lokecha, and you'll forget the Lord your God, Hamusiach Meretz Mitzrayim, the base of Avodim, that took you out of Egypt, you were a slave. You were a slave in Egypt, and here you're getting haughty. Here you're getting haughty. And this is one of the worst things you can do, because our whole purpose here on earth, I heard from Bob Grossman, he said, our whole purpose here on earth is to give praise to Hashem and give Him credit for everything. And a person, but Ram Levavcha, who's full of gaiva, he's a baal gaiva, he's full of this chutzpah that he has everything come to him. Look at everything I got. There's no room for him and Hashem to dwell in the same world. And Kodesh Baruch Hu ain't going anywhere. Okay? Right? He stops the geula. This type, he stops the redemption. This gaiva. Okay? So, what happens? We're going on with this. Now, and it says, verse 17, you'll say in your heart, my strength, my ability got me this, and Unclus, the Aramaic translation says on this, Yadi Knuli Yas Nechase, my hand acquired these Nechasim, these belongings and possessions. And the next verse corrects you, what a Jew should really say. And remember these words, another very important verse. I have a black clip on it, it must be important. Okay? V'zacharta es Hashem Elokecha, remember the Lord your God, ki hu anoselecha koyach la'asos chayel, He is the one that gives you strength, the ability to be successful. To be successful, or to be strong, or to be valiant, however you want to translate it. Unclus, interestingly, translates the following. Hu yavcha eitza lemakne nechasim. It's Hashem who gave you the eitza, the good advice, the intelligence of how to acquire the belongings. You think you're an acute businessman. Bullhockey! It's from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Don't pat yourself on the back. Very important. Anybody's a millionaire, doing well, in a profession, you have a bigger obligation to thank Hashem. Okay? Very important. Everybody, to some degree, falls trap to verse 17 and does not acknowledge verse 18 enough. Everybody, to some degree, we like to feel good. We like to feel independent. We like to feel we don't need anybody because of our insecurities. You know, look what I did. Look how great I am. And I'm talking about Tishon and Shear. Boy, that was good. They really liked it. I really know how to give over a shear. In anything, you can do it. And you got to remember, Biladai. That's Avram Avinu's statement. Nothing to do with me. Avram Avinu said that. Biladai. Nothing to do with me. Right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu's with you, right? You can pocket the eight ball with a piece of rope. I'm telling you, you got to remember this. You got to remember this. Very, very important. So this is the challenge for people in the in professions and anything in business when they are successful, right? And when people start giving you compliments, it's really dangerous. Because you can start to believe it. Because you want to believe it. I want to believe it. Who doesn't want to believe it? I mean, you got to feel good about what you're doing. You know, that's anav, and anav, to be humble, means you recognize what you're doing. You recognize you have a talent. You have an ability. But you recognize that God is the source behind it. That's all. It's very simple. It's not going around, oh, no, I can't write an order. I can't give a share. That's false modesty. That's not modesty. You're just being an idiot. You're being naive. Modesty means you admit it. Yes, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to do this and this and this, but I recognize it's from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah, that's okay. You gotta remember that. Okay. Now, chapter 9, verse 10 tells us the following. It says, Luchos, and the way it's written without a vav, Rashi tells you, Shesteim Shavos, to teach you that both of them were the same. Both Luchos, both of the tablets of stone are the same. Okay? Now, I don't know what Rashi's trying to tell us there. I have my interpretation, and I emphasize this because I don't know if it's true. I mean, I know the basic concept's true. I don't know if you can learn out from here, but take it for what it's worth. Okay? Very important. When I always... If I don't say anything, then you know I'm quoting legitimate sources. If I ever give my opinion, I'll say so. So, okay. Anyway, both of them are the same. If you think about it, the first set of the tablets is there's mitzvahs between man and God, right? The first five. That's a truth. And the second five are between man and man. So I think it maybe means shteim shavos, they're both the same, to teach us that a person can't say, I'm God-fearing and treat his fellow man like dirt. That's not being a servant of Hashem. And he can't be the other way around. I'm a humanitarian. I treat my fellow man with dignity and respect. I don't need to do the rituals between man and God. No, they're both the same. There's no such thing as being more concerned about one than the other. Both are the same. To be a true servant of God, you got to serve God, you got to do all the mitzvahs between man and God, and you got to be respectful of your fellow Jew as well. Okay? Now, chapter 10, verse 12, teaches us an important, a lot of things written on this, Ki'im L'Yira, right? Ki'im L'Yira means that you should fear God, basically, okay? What does that mean? Well, the whole verse says, this is chapter 10, verse 12, everybody with me? Okay? The whole verse says, V'atai Yisrael Ma'ashem L'kech Shalom Imach, listen Israel, what does God really ask of you? Oh, Kim Yuras Hashem Lokecha, but to fear the Lord your God. Okay? So they say that everything is in the hands of heaven except fear of God, which means right? A person is like predestined whether he's going to be wealthy or poor or smart or not. But fear of heaven, right, that's up to the individual. The individual has the ability, you know, that's where his free will takes place. Are you going to be God-fearing? Are you going to do God's mitzvahs or go after your Yetzer Hara? Okay? Okay. And the other thing that they learn out from here, Torah Tzimina says, Kiyum L'Yira means that you should, and everything that you do, and everything, all the mitzvahs you do, the whole purpose is to acquire fear of God. That's the whole purpose of doing all mitzvahs and everything, is to fear God, to be a Yiras Hashem. Okay? That's another insight into it. Now, another one, just a second, we'll flip over. Another insight, Ma Hashem Lokech Shalomcha, Ki Miras Hashem Lokecha, to fear the Lord your God. If you really look at that verse, right? Okay? You can read it a little bit differently, okay? And the way you read it is, Ma Hashem Lokech Shalomimach, what does Hashem ask for you? Ki im Yira, that you can ask from Hashem to fear him. In other words, the following. This is the oil Torah says the following. That everything that a person asks from God, it's a suffix, it's a doubt whether it will be answered or not the way you want it. You know? Get me, you know, this shidduch, right? Or yeah, help me land this job. Whatever it is. You don't know if it's going to be answered. Okay? Right? That's all B'yidei Shemayim. That's all in the hands of heaven. Okay? Akol B'yidei Shemayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, we said, except Yira. Right, so that's in your hands to fear God. So he says, what it means is all your requests are in the hands of heaven. Hashem will decide whether to answer them or not. Right? Okay, you have no really free will there, except in one area. If you ask God, please make me God fearing. Right? Listen to this. Kish shekasher adam vakesh yir shemayim ein kol sofek b'davar shebikashaso tismale. No doubt about it. You'll be answered. If a person prays to Hashem to be God-fearing, God will answer his prayer. You're guaranteed to get an answer for that prayer, to be God-fearing. Okay? God, man is led the way he wants to go. Okay. Now, another interpretation of this, says the Baal Shem Tov, is the following. All the mitzvahs Hashem gave us, 613 mitzvahs, are to purify us, right? It says, Ratzach Hashem Zachos Yisrael. Hashem wanted to purify us and to give us merit, so he gave us all these mitzvahs, right? Okay. So, what does he mean? What does Hashem ask of you? It's just to fear him. He says about Shem Tov the following, Kim Yira Es Hashem Lokecha, you should fear like the Lord your God fears. What does that mean? In other words, you shouldn't fear God because you're afraid that you're going to get punished. Right? You should fear like God fear. What does God fear? The year of Hashem, the fear of God, if we can say that, is that we will not do his mitzvahs, right? And therefore, Hashem will not be able to bless us, right? Right? And he won't be able to bless us. And on top of that, that the sin, when we don't fear God and we sin, the sin blemishes our neshama. Okay? That's what God fears. He doesn't want to see his beautiful children soiling their neshama, staining their neshama. Right? God wants you to have that kind of fear. Be fearful what you're doing to your soul. Okay? That's the Baal Shem Tov's shot on that. Okay? Now, the Sefer Todah says on this, Kim L'Yira, he learns out to be God-fearing, you have to learn Musar. And he quotes, it's halacha, he quotes a halacha that's a chav gamar, it's an obligation, a strict obligation every day that a person, shekol adam yomod b'chol yom sefer yira, that a person has to hear, learn books of fear, which means Musar. Musar. And even, he says, even if you have to give up some of your regular learning, your Gemara learning, you have to do it. Right? Because of this verse. Because what does Hashem ask from you? He doesn't say that you should be a Talmud Chacham, you should be a scholar, but to be God-fearing. Alright? So, that's what he says. It's better that a person be God-fearing, even if he's an ignorant boor. Yoiser v'yoiser tov milamdam v'ein lo yira. That's more important that he's a Lamdan, he's a big Talmud Chacham, but has no fear of God. You hear that? That's a big Kiddush, guys. That's a very big Kiddush, I want you to know. Okay, and the final thing I'm going to tell you on this one is from Rav Avigdor Miller. Okay, Rav Avigdor Miller says, if you really look at this verse, it says a lot more than Yira Shemayim. Let's look at the verse. What does God ask from you? Nothing much. Fear him. To go in all his ways. To love him. And to serve him. And to serve him all your heart and all your soul. You hear this? What does God ask for you? Just to fear him, go in all his ways, love him, serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, and then it goes on, and keep all his mitzvahs and his chukim that he command you today. And the Gemara learns out from here, what? You want to know what the Gemara learns out from here? Besides everything else we said, the Gemara learns out, don't read it, ma. They pick on one word here, ma. Ma, shem lokecho sholecha, ma, what? Read it, mea, 100. You know what Hashem wants from you? 100 brachas. 100 brachas. The Gemara learns out, the more bracha learns out from here, that the pasuk, it says, fear of God, go in his ways, love him, do all his mitzvahs. No. The Gemara says, really what it means is do 100 brachas. Ma, don't read it ma, read it mea. Mea brachas. A person does 100 blessings every day if you add up the Shmona Esrays and the brachas in the morning. 100 brachas each day. What's going on here? That's not what the verse says. So Rav Avigdor Miller says, if you think about it, that's the foundation. That's the foundation of being God-fearing. 100 times a day, a God-fearing Jew recognizes that it's not koichi v'oitzim yadi, it's not my power and strength that got me this, right? But rather, v'zachartes Hashem Elokecha. Remember the Lord your God. Ki huras alakoyach v'lasas chayel. And you give him a bracha. You thank Hashem. What's a bracha? What's a bracha? A bracha is, I recognize that this is not mine by right, but it's a gift from you. And it's a miracle. And you're the source behind it. 100 times a day, you say that. 100 times a day, you acknowledge that this is from you and I thank you, Hashem. I thank you. 100 times a day, that is the foundation to come to fear of God, to go in all his ways, to love him, to serve him with all your heart and soul, to do all his mitzvahs. To recognize that what you got is not yours by right, but it's a gift from God, and I thank you 100 times a day. So that is lahakir chaste Hashem b'chol yom v'yom. To recognize and the bracha is supposed to sensitize you to recognize the kindness that Hashem gives you all day long. Okay? Okay? The truth is, the Chazal, our sages had to enact brachas before, at a certain time we didn't need them. A person could see the things that he gave him and thank God all the time. Avram Avinu went around thanking Hashem all the time. But we can desensitize. So our sages got us to say brachas, the Institute of Brachas, to maybe awaken us to realize, look, this is a miracle. This peach, right, this plum, right, whatever it is, right? And thank Hashem for it. What, you think it's just yours? It's Hashem's world. Okay, so that's the foundation. That's why the Gemara says Mea Brachas. That's the importance of Mea Brachas. Okay, a couple other things. Now, I want to go back to that verse. I want to go back to a verse, guys. And that the verse is that on chapter 8, verse 16. Okay? It says that Hashem gave you man in the desert, laman anoischa, to afflict you, ulaman nasasecha, and to test you, lativcha b'achrisecha. Okay, I just heard this from Rabbi Grossman. God afflicts you and tests you to reward you, to give you good afterwards. That's what the verse reads. This is the yesod, this is the foundation of a life of a Jew. A yid has to know that certain things, certain times, certain things are going to seem bad. And it's only because Hashem wants to test you. When you have these problems, will you still do his mitzvahs? Right? With the tzoras. Do you still rely on Hashem? Do you still have bitachon in Hashem? Right? Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests us. He tries us out. He tests. He wants to see. He wants to see how much bitachon do you really have in me? How much do you really trust and rely on me? When everything's going fine, you're great. Now let's give you a little bumpy road. How much do you really love me? Are you still obeying me? Are you still trying to serve me? Okay? And he's only doing this for our benefit, to reward us in the next world. And that's what it says. It's right there in black and white. L'ma'ana sa'iska, l'ma'ana no'iska, you're going to have afflictions. L'ma'ana sa'iska, God's going to test you. L'ativcha b'achrisecha. So he can reward you in the next world. There it is. There's the answer to another fundamental, basic hashkafa question everybody has about afflictions. The vort is, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he had the question. He said, why is there such a thing as tzadik v'tayvlo? You hear me? You thought I made a mistake. Why is there such a thing as a tzadik and good things happen for him? He didn't ask, why is there such a thing as a tzadik and bad things happen for him? That he understood. This, pshita. The truth is, Moshe had a question on that. But a tzaddik and bad things happen to Hashem. He understood basically that Hashem wants to give the tzaddik more of a chance to serve Hashem on a higher level. L'fum tzara agra. According to the pain, you get more reward. Right? What Moshe Rabbeinu wants to know is, why is there a tzaddik betonlo? Why is there a tzaddik and everything goes good for him? That's not fair. He doesn't have a chance to serve you on a high level with source and problems. That's not fair to him. He's going to not get as much reward in the next world. You hear? We have a hard time with these things, okay? Okay, we got to sensitize ourselves to this. Okay? Actually, it says, the Gemara says, Shois matonas nasli Yisrael v'kulam niknu b'yisurim, I believe. It says, three things, three presents God gave Israel, and we acquired all of them through afflictions. And they are Torah. You only get Torah through working at it. Afflictions doesn't have to mean someone's beating you. It could mean you're breaking your head trying to understand something. Okay, Torah, we got Israel, land of Israel, as we always see, right, is through afflictions. And Olam Haba, the next world, a person only gets through afflictions. So the three most precious things are only acquired through afflictions. Again, we're spoiled Americans. We crack. Sometimes we have to realize Hashem tests us. We don't test Hashem. We have that in our parsha too. We're not supposed to test Hashem. We got it backwards. You see, we test Hashem. We don't like it when he tests us. That's not the way it works. Let me explain. We don't test God. We believe in perfect faith that he knows what he's doing, and he's allowed to test us. We have a problem with these things. we have to spell it out. Okay. Now, this verse that we started talking about at the beginning of class, right? 5. Let's try to delve into it. This is chapter 8, verse 5. Right? Kasher yaser ish espino. Right? Hashem lokechem yasrecha. Just like a father chastises his son, the Lord your God chastises you. But you should know, says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, that Chagam, if you want to know why does God chastise us, you know the old joke, we're the chosen people. Yeah, we're chosen for persecution, pogroms, and inquisitions. Okay? Well, the truth is, we are. Why? Shigam sha'umais oisim rasha. Right? It's sold. All the other nations, they're doing wicked deeds, right? Lo yakpid aleim. Hashem won't be so exacting with them. Kamosha makpid aleinu. Like he's particular with us. Why? Because, look at the word. Right? Hashem elokecha. Your God. Right? Like a father chastises his son, the Lord, your God, your personal God, the one that loves you and cares for you. That's not God's relationship to the nations of the world. He has a special connection to us, right? So he's going to be very particular when we do wicked acts. Shenischayad Shem Elokuso Aleinu. Hashem has put his name on us. We're his ambassadors on earth. We're Yisrael, right? And therefore, since Hashem put His name on us, He linked His name with us, anytime we do something wrong, Hashem is going to afflict us. They'll get away with it, yes. In this world. In this world, they'll get away with it. And so Hashem will afflict us to atone for our sins, so we'll have a better next year world, right? And also because no one can create a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem like we can. Okay? No one can sanctify God's name or the opposite, Chalila, like we can, because we're His chosen people. Okay? That's why we have to be especially careful not to get fall into these traps and get caught up in what everybody else is caught up and concerned about out there and adhere to the Torah. They can do that stuff. Okay? We have to be loyal subjects to God. Okay? So that's a very important thing. Now, the truth is, to come to Yiras Hashem and to realize all these things that we're saying in our Torah portion, right? The answer to it is, the answer to it, and why we have a hard time with it, is chapter 10, verse 16. What might that say? Chapter 10, verse 16 tells us very simply, Umaltem es arlos levavchem, v'arpechem lo takshu'ad. You got to circumcise your heart so your neck won't be stiff anymore. We are stubborn, stiff-necked people. I'm Kishoyev. And that's good. Because if we weren't, we would have given up the Torah a long time ago through all the persecutions. So that's an attribute God gave us to be the most brazen of nations, so we'll survive the Golas. But we use it against Him. That's the problem. And we have to circumcise our heart and listen to the translation, the Aramaic translation of Unclus. What does it mean to take our foreskin off our hearts? You got to take off the foolishness from your hearts. Tipshus, stupidity, foolishness. That's what it is. If the person just removes the foolishness of his heart, he comes to fear God. He comes to see everything. He sees that God is controlling everything. He's doing everything for our benefit, right? And He tests us in this world for our benefit, right? And everything becomes, the problem is here. We have this foreskin called stupidity on our hearts. That's what Unclus translates it. Okay? And once we do that, says the Degel Machne Ephraim, Lo tzieh lechem shum kushya al anhogas Hashem Yisbach, then you'll have, once you take the foolishness out of your mouth and you remove your stiff neckness and your the foreskin, you won't have any question on how God operates His world. Lo tikshuad. That's what he says, a play on words. He says at the end of that verse, Lo tikshuad, he says like the word of tivakesh, you won't have any more questions. Here he says, you remove umaltimus arlas levavchem, remove the foreskin of your heart, lo tikshuad, and then you won't have any more questions about how Hashem runs His world. It's very pretty the way He does that. Okay? And then the Chofetz Chaim says, he quotes the Chofetz Chaim, says very simple, because mi shema'amin ain lo kushyus. A person who believes, he has no questions. Umi she'ain umaymin, lo ya'ilo lo terutz, kol ha'terutz in bo'ilam. And whoever doesn't believe, all the answers in the world ain't going to help. The problem is the foreskin on the heart. Okay? The barrier. Okay? Okay? You know, I often wondered on that first pasuk that we said, that, you know, these mitzvahs that a person dashes upon, we don't give mitzvahs enough respect. I was wondering, often wondered if that's what Gehenna is. I think a lot about Gehenna, yeah. Anyways, I wonder often if that's what Gehenna is, because that when we see in the world of truth, that we'll see how we disgrace and didn't give the proper respect to those mitzvahs, right, that we thought weren't that big a deal, saying Amen, a bracha. When we see how important they are, right, that's Gehenna. That burning shame of how I was mevaza that mitzvah. Could be. By the way, v'haya is always a language of simcha, and v'yu, right, v'yu b'meyach hashverish, yeah, is always a language of sorrow. So it says, what does it mean, v'haya eikev tishmu? The plain words, v'haya will be a simcha eikev at the end, ikstadim mashicha, the heel steps of the Messiah, Tishmul, you'll finally listen to God's mitzvahs. And then you'll finally listen to them. That's one of the commentaries they say on that. Okay, I can't find it right now. If I find it, we'll come back to it. But let's go on to this idea here. The idea of chapter 8, verse 3, a very interesting verse. You know, the secular sayings come up all the time in our Torah portions. You know, man does not eat by bread alone, which is the favorite slogan of every Texas steakhouse, right? Right, so that's from our Torah portion. Chapter 8, verse 3, that Hashem afflicted you, right, and He gave you the mind to eat, to teach you, ki lo alechem levado yichya adam, because a man does not live on bread alone, ki ko moitzi pi Hashem yichya adam, but he also lives by the word of Hashem's mouth. So simply meaning, a person shouldn't go around chasing after the physical pleasures of this world, because that's not what a person lives by. Okay, a man does not live by bread alone. He has a soul, in other words. He doesn't have just a body. He has a soul he has to nourish. And just like bread nourishes the body, mitzvahs Torah nourishes the soul. So you got to give it, it's more than its proper due. Okay? All right, so that's a very important, that's the main point I wanted to bring out there. Now, a little bit of Kabbalistic point. The Arizal says on this that Hashem created the world of 10 sayings. So when everything is the word of Hashem. So he says, you know, there's a question. How is it that the physical body, excuse me, the spiritual neshama is sustained by physical food? Right? Well, it's in a physical body, right? So he says, what happens is the following. This verse tells you it. It says that it's not man does not live by bread alone, but moitzi pi Hashem, but the word of Hashem's mouth. That God created everything and put a godliness in it. So what happens? The neshama craves, the soul craves for the godliness, right? Those sparks of godliness in that food, right? But since the soul's in a body, that translates into a physical, you think you're physically hungry, is what you think. But that's not really what's happening. What's happening is neshama craves the ruchnius of that food, the spirituality of that food, okay? So, what happens, when you say a bracha, right, then the neshama is, so to speak, fed, it's nourished, and the body, mamela, is also nourished with it as well, okay? Alright, so it gets into a lot more than this. And that's why you're satiated after you eat. You think you're satiated because you just satisfied a physical appetite. But the truth is, you satiate your neshama with the bracha. It gets very Kabbalistic. Okay. By the way, it's amazing. We have a chapter 10, verse 12, to love God, repeated. Chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 5. Chapter 11, verse 13. Chapter 11, verse 22. Chapter 30, verse 6. Chapter 30, verse 20. Chapter 30, verse 16. To love God, to love God, to love God. You get the idea? We have to stop and try to love God. It's very hard. It's not physical. We don't see Him, right? We got to lock in a loving God. It's repeated enough times in the Torah to try to sensitize us to it. Yes. There's no redundancy in the Torah. You're 100% right. It's repeated to emphasize the simple meaning of it, but each one teaches us something different. Yes. So both statements are correct. Both statements are correct. Okay. Okay. Chapter 11, verse 12 tells you that Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asher Hashem Lokecha Doresh, Hashem always looks at the land of Israel. There's a continual personal godly supervision over the land of Israel. It's a king's backyard, therefore a person has to be very careful. If you're not going to do Torah mitzvahs, better not live there. You're going to cause more harm than good. Witness what we're going through now. Okay? Now, it's interesting. There's a verse, chapter 7, verse 15, tells you that Hashem removed basically, that Hashem will remove from you all the illnesses that He brought upon the Egyptians. So, interesting, Rabbi Grossman says on this, he's quoted, I think, the Medrash, that we learn out from here that each one of the 10 plagues, we also got it for a moment. Just so that we can, we got it for a moment, it was removed, just so we could appreciate what God was doing for us. That's what he says. And that's what it means here. All those afflictions we God gave to you in Egypt, I won't give to you. And that's why, by the way, there's a big debate in the Haggadah. How many plagues were in Egypt? How many was at the sea? Right? The Vilna Gaon says, because one person says 50, one person says 250, they're trying to make it as many as possible so we'd be exempt from all those illnesses and plagues. Okay, but interesting. Going back to Rob Grossman, we had it for a moment. It was removed so we could appreciate what Hashem was doing for us. So I was thinking, for Mashma from here, that we need to get a cold every now and then. We need that, right? We need it just for a second to get an illness or something, because if we went our whole lives with wealth and health, we never appreciate it. Here it is. We got the plague just for a moment so we could appreciate being healthy. So sometimes adversity serves that purpose as well. Okay, I don't know. It's interesting. That was chapter 7, verse 15. Okay, chapter 10, verse 19, Vahath the Seger loved the stranger. It's repeated 36 times. Now, Rambam says this means the convert, the ger, the convert. And the Chinuch tells us, broadens this mitzvah to anybody. A convert's the ultimate stranger to Yiddishkeit, right? But the Chinuch broadens to any stranger, especially newcomers to the neighborhood, a new employee, whatever it might be. You got to make a person feel at home. Yeah, we all know what that awkward feeling when you're new, right? Okay, so that's in our parsha. It's repeated 36 times, and that's important. It's very important. We never look down on anybody, right? If anything, a convert has a special place in God's eye, if you will. Okay, chapter 10, verse 21, Hutilasecha, God is your praise. Some people learn out Halalim Hashem. It's similar to that verse about brachas, but okay. Hutilasecha, God is your praise. The ultimate way is praising God, some people say, is a bracha. But anyways, the point is that God should be the sole recipient of your praise. This Ramban says this, Nachmanides. Hutilasecha, he should get all your praise. You should thank him for everything that happens to you. Hashem wants you to thank your fellow man, whoever his agencies are, but realize that he's the source. For hu elokecha, he's your God, right? That means personal God. The personal God who shares the suffering of his people and hears our prayer. Again, Nachmanides is saying this. Hu elokecha. Another very innocent verse. He's your God. He suffers with you. You know that? He loves you more than you love yourself. And he feels your pain more than you feel it. Hu elokecha. That's from Ban. Okay? Okay, so I think we're going to close with one more vort, and I appreciate your patience today. It was a little tough parsha to so many wonderful, beautiful things. I don't think we covered it all. We never do. So we're right on schedule. So let's just finish it off. I'm going to finish with this. Again, it's the emphasis that we've been saying all year round, right, on the materialistic world. But I want you to hear the words inside, okay? Hear the words inside from nobody less than Rambam, Maimonides. Okay? And he says it on verse 11, chapter 11, verse 13 and 14, right? Which is, Faya im Shamoa. Does it sound familiar, guys? We have the second paragraph, the second paragraph of the Shema in our Torah portion, right? Chapter 11, verse 13, okay? And this is the one I've been quoting all year round, right? If you do all my mitzvahs, right, then the rain's going to land in its proper time, and you're going to gather in your wheat, and you're going to eat, and you're going to be satisfied, you're going to get all these materialistic brachas, right? The Torah is telling us the reward you get in this world. But don't make a mistake. This is not a reward for the actual mitzvah. But rather, this is a promise from Hashem that it will give you the proper conditions so you can continue to learn Torah. Right? Because afflictions and poverty, it takes a person out of his mind and he rebels against Hashem, basically. You know, those are very tough things to handle. So Hashem gives you the proper means to do His mitzvahs, but it's not the reward itself. This is what we've been quoting all year long. How to use the materialism. How to use this exile, America, right? You got the blessings? That's not reward for mitzvah. It's to help you do more mitzvah and accumulate more reward. But all the rewards in the next world. Okay? That's our test. Our test, and we've said it many times, but here's the real source for it. The Rambam brings it. How we're supposed to handle the affluence of 20th century America. Thank you very much. A good Shabbos.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.